Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Under the Cuffs podcast. We're here. You all right? Just the three
Very
of us.
Well.
No guests.
Just the three of us.
Building.
No, we're leaving it at that.
Just the three of us this week.
Bit of a mid-series debrief, would
you
call
it?
Yeah,
we thought we'd have a sit down, collect our thoughts.
Get together, see what we, see if we'll carry on, really.
I came in with loads of energy then. It's
like, hey, you're right.
Freedom,
I've hurt my knee.
Oh, fucking yeah, I've got a bad knee at the minute. That's long.
Surgery?
Yeah. Basically, I started a warm up for training and my knee collapsed front back. Oh, dear. But I'm already booked in for my next one, apparently.
Pre-book.
The surgeon says when you
get
retire,
half price.
When you retire, you're going to need.
Do you want to book in for the second one?
Yeah, I think they're a few quid, these operations. Well, first of all, when I went, before I'd even looked at a scan, he looked at my knee, and he said, "You're going to need a new knee by 45-50 I thought, "Oh, yeah, brilliant!" I thought, can you put me two in now. might help me for the next couple of years. I'll be flying for the next couple of years. A couple of new Berties in. Obviously, he said I'm going to need an operation to hopefully stop me needing a new knee soon.
Have you been looking after yourself?
Have I what? Have I? I'm on a new diet. It's not really a diet, so it's just an healthy lifestyle living. Missus made me watch a documentary, Juiced for 61 days.
Yeah.
So we watched that other night, so we've been out and bought a juicer and
I'm a new man.
Yeah.
I'm a new man.
You know, till I've lost a bit.
Where did we stop on the way, yeah?
Oh, we stopped for a sandwich. Yeah. I had a tuna sandwich. Still got to eat.
So you're juicing?
Yeah. So I'm juicing, yeah. To be fair, the fruit ones are lovely.
Yeah.
But I've had one this morning. Jesus God. I'm in the pattern Mick. Oh dear me. Or a celery. Spinach, kale, lemon, cucumber, and an apple. Oh my dear. Rank.
Sounds delightful.
I'm absolutely gipping as I'm drinking it.
But have they said you can just eat normal?
What? Nobody's put me on it, Chris. It's not.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Because some of these juice things, you just have juice and that's it. But you seem to just carry on as normal, but just throwing the odd bit of celery in there.
He's like a salad with his steak. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not doing it as a diet as such. I'm just trying to get a little bit more
goodness.
Yeah, a bit more goodness in me. Because there's only so much that lettuce on a McChicken sandwich. You know what I mean? It's only so much veg in that, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? So I'll see how long I get on with that.
Going back to knees, what was the surgeon like? Was he in terms of his character? You know, because remember when I first done mine, I was only 17. And the physios took us down to Bradford, pulled into the car park, and obviously the surgeon's car was there, and his number plate was ACL, like private, which is obviously a ligament in your knee. And I thought, a bit arrogant straight away.
Yeah.
So I walked in and hobbled in, and he's kind of like sat on the edge of his desk, like David Brent, kind of like half leaned back and went,
"Well, hands behind his head."
Yeah. Like tan shoes, Sergio Giorgini.
You have socks on.
No,
flowery. And he's just gone, "Yeah, the chances are you're not going to play again, son." Flipping comment, I went, "Sorry?" He went, "Yeah, you're probably not going to play professional again." And that was it. Just walked out. He just walked out? No, he says, shook me hand and went, "Good luck." He says, "I can do the operation, but chances are you're going to be out 15 to 18 months, but you're probably not going to play again, son."
And he just looked at you while lying on his desk.
He didn't even tap with hammer.
No,
he obviously had the scans there, and he went, right. Oh, I can see your complete ruptures there. And just, that was it. I was 17 years old.
He did another op, did he?
No, I went to America in the end.
He's took a bit of pleasure in that, hasn't he? He's playing God there a bit, isn't he?
Because that's the first thing I said was, that was a bit... And the physio was like, that's
abrupt.
Not
his, yeah. Abrupt.
But he was like, it's not his job to make you feel better. It's just, he's got to tell you how it is.
Yeah.
But then he said, the fella in before, there was a young lad in before me, and he had to get his knee fused. I think he was only 18, 19. So I thought, could be worse.
Yeah.
What does fused mean? Just locked?
Yeah, just couldn't.
That from sport?
Hmm? I think it was at Scarborough.
That surgeon would probably like,
remember that, but.
You probably won't make it, lad.
Yeah.
I'd do your will now if you can.
So it's walking around like a flick off hello, hello.
I was speechless.
Kaiser Sose might have him finished.
I'll tell you what, we went to Blackpool the other week, Blackpool Walsall, and got there quite early, and it was pissing it down. Went to the main entrance, and there's a couple of blokes there, mid-40s, you know, max on with pictures and covered up waiting for autographs, and you know, pretty hardcore
they're all over
fanatics, should
yeah,
we say,
crazy.
Every club,
I mean, if you kick off bus at some and you're signing pictures from 10 years ago, and they're obviously just waiting for the opportunity when you can sign them.
Every club just
pretty much
in there,
yeah. Every away trip, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we've
there'll got be fans there.
Hi, John.
We've got a guy at York. We've got a guy at York, and he's obviously everyone. All fans know him. He's James. I call him.
Because it's his name.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy. We call him Jimmy. And he gets every time, every game he's got a new autograph book, so he must have 25 a season, these autograph books. And when I were at York the first time, Trigger, his nickname's Trigger, and he stands there pretty much all you hear from him. And the first time we're at York, we were playing on if any York fans listen to this, they'll know it's fucking not, it's not final spot on that, I'm pretty sure.
Is he a matter of bobcat?
When I was at York the first time, we got a game on a Sunday. Some of my pals came up on the train and we were going to have a couple of drinks after the game in York. So I finishes the game and gets into York and having a couple of drinks. All right, John. Trigger. Trigger on me, Jolly and Yates says, want a drink, John? I says, no, you're right, Trig. You're right. He says, so anyway, we stopped for a couple of hours and Trig stayed with us the whole trip. Yeah, the whole trip. So we're walking down to the train station, and obviously my mates have had a couple of drinks, and we're going back to my local in Barnsley. So one of them says, you fancy coming back to his local trip? He's like, yeah. So he gets to the train station, he's following up the platform. So we've opened the train doors open, Trig's got on the train. He's getting trained from York to Doncaster to come to my local. So I'm like, how's he going to fucking get up? So I had to kick him off the train. Literally, kick him in the back. Right, Trig, boom! Door shut. Or he'd have been on the train.
He'd have been on your couch.
Honestly, he were going to come back to my local on a Sunday night. But he goes to all sporting events. And he were at the snooker when he were at the Barbican in York. And it's on YouTube somewhere. And he goes in like a... I think he goes in a fancy waistcoat, you know, snooker waistcoat, and he's watching Ken Doherty. And Ken Doherty's missed this shot, and you just heard him go, fuck off, Ken!
he got evicted!
Just totally random. Fuck off, Ken! Obviously, you can hit it on the telly, and it's Trig! Fuck off, Ken. it just seemed like, you know, when, like, at the races, if a big race meeting at York, you know, when they're doing the pundits are doing the, like, John McCreek or whatever, He just trickle just a beer in the background. He gets the water can get.
Fuck off, Ken.
Got a victim.
And he's there every game at York.
Every game.
Have you signed his book a few times?
Oh, mate, you must have my signature 300 times.
Thing is, you don't mind. You've
got checks behind. Yeah.
You don't mind signing the thing. You know, you'll do it all day long. But at least get the name right. The amount of times I've come up and they've gone, all right, Cliff, will you sign this, please? Just get my name right, mate.
No weird requests.
No, not really.
Yeah, you've signed.
Not been signing any breasts.
Once or twice. Once or twice.
Keane never used to. Say we turn up at a hotel, lads are waiting for the room keys and that. You used to hear Keane, that's not my fucking book. That's not mine. Because obviously people wanting his autobiography signed or. No, I'm not signing, just storm off in the lift. Wouldn't sign anything that wasn't. It was obviously a biography of people writing about him.
Right, if it wasn't his book.
If it wasn't his book,
it.
He wouldn't sign it.
I think I'm starting mine soon, by the way.
Yeah.
Autobiography.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. Think I'm starting mine, so.
Typewriter.
Interesting. Yeah, I like what they call it. Landry. Yeah. I'm obviously not writing it myself.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I thought. Where you were scribbling away before, I thought you were getting the chapter in.
But I'm just practicing my new signature for Trig.
Have you changed your signature, John?
If anybody might be interested in buying that when it comes out, hopefully around about a Christmas festive period for one of your loved ones.
Please rebook it.
Don't worry, I'll mention it many, many, many more times. So don't worry about it. If you're looking at the release date, there's no problem.
So you've got a book out. Brownie, are you releasing your wind up CDs? Chris Brown wind up.
Audio book. Less panic.
I need to be kicked because we did one. On the way down to Warwick, Tommy Spur drove us down and I had Corey Evans in the back, and it was the day we beat Shrewsbury in the cup, and Delfonso came on and scored. Well, it was one of them, a cross had come in and two lads, I think him and Liam Lawrence, who was playing for Shrewsbury, have kind of both gone for it, and Del Boy's just ran off hand in the air. So I've rang Del Boy pretending to be from the FA dubious goals panel. But I had him for 5 or 6 minutes, him defend, like, oh, I swear, he was swearing down,
Even, I think at one point, he even says, my missus has asked me about it as well, and she says it was my goal.
Oh, that's all right then. All is forgotten, Nathan.
Could you get her on the phone, please? It'd be good to get a second opinion.
I think I was, because when he scored, he kind of just didn't show any emotion. So I brought it up, I said, I think the main thing is, Nathan, that your response to the goal was lethargic and as if it wasn't, you were unsure. He went, yeah, but I know. He said, if you look at my goals in the last few years, I am more low key. He says, my celebrations are really, under the radar. I says, well, that's because you used to hit in the Onion bag, aren't you? He's like, yeah, of course it is. I went, just for future reference, Nathan, next time you score, just have a bit about you. I know it's frowned upon, just take your shirt off and swing it round your head. He's like, okay. I said, even just do the robot. Just do the robot, right? So the best thing is, we've come in the next day. And
he's almost pleading with you, isn't
he? Yeah, he was giving us the full spiel, just because it was his first goal as well. I was just jealous because I hadn't scored yet. But he's come in the next day, and I don't know how, but there was actually a goals meet, think a review on the goal. So the first thing Friday morning, due to a meeting at the FA, the dubious goals panel has awarded the goal to Nathan Delfonso, which just added to the wind-up even more.
I sold it. I managed to talk him round.
So then the next day, Huddersfield away.
Oh, he's not scoring.
He's come on. First touch, he's banged one in the net and went absolutely ballistic. Honestly, I've never seen it. He's just started jumping around, throwing his hands in.
Yes!
The last thing I said to him was, next time you score, just make sure everybody knows it's your goal. He went bananas. I've got the video on my phone. Corey filmed it.
He's actually pleading, but yeah, my missus has said, yeah, she thought it was my goal as well.
We will get that on the YouTube. If you're not, on the, under the cosh without the E, YouTube, get on it and we'll get it on there. Was that the toughest time at Blackburn for your injury-wise?
Not the toughest, but probably the most frustrating, just because it happened as soon as I got there. I'd signed in the pre-season, and within a week, I could feel it. You know, I was running, I thought, something's not right here. And then I think we're meant to play the first pre-season game on the Saturday, and I'm driving home and I'm in agony in the car. I'm thinking, I just can't physically. So I've had to ring the gaffer. I rang him on the Friday and I said, I'm feeling my knee. And it's always an awkward conversation anyway with a man, about, especially when I've just signed.
Yeah.
So he says, well, I said, oh, I should be all right for Monday. Probably known fine well that it was worse.
Right.
So then got the, went to see the surgeon again. He said, oh, well, the options are you either have a microfracture, which is a 9 month to a year.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
But the surgeon was basically saying that because of your age and the length of your contract, he said, we'll just
budge it up.
Basically, yeah. And I was happy with that because obviously
you
want to
get
he said, you'll be back in 6 weeks. I says, right.
Do what
just,
you have to
just
do.
Just do what you need to do and I'll get through it. But because I'd had that much history with it, it took 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, it just kept breaking down. It didn't feel right. So then I got back fit in the January and I just couldn't get going really in terms of me playing.
You got some stick at Blackburn though, didn't you? from the fans
just
stuff.
A bit. Yeah, it was. I mean, I knew about how harsh they could be when I used to watch on Match of the Day and Steve Keane was getting dogs abuse.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that were fans were frustrated with the actual club as well, and the only place that could take it out on were the players and the manager really.
Yeah, but they give a shit because I wasn't good enough. That's what I came down to.
And you were only not good enough because of your injury.
Yeah.
Is that frustrating, not being able to say that yourself?
No.
Do you know what I mean? When you're getting dogs abuse and you know, listen, I'm fucking injured, but I'm not 100%, and you can't. Do you feel like saying, oh, well,
nah. Because I signed up, I'm putting myself out there to play. It was me that's saying I'm fit. But as a player, you just want to play. But I know what you mean. But that's when I started to think, is it really worth it? You know, I remember coming on against QPR on a Tuesday night, and it was like a carnival atmosphere when I came on, just taking the piss out of us. You know, like every time I touched the ball, it was, hey! If I win a header, hey! I think I plucked one out.
They're only two cheers. They were one header and touched it once.
But I actually did well. And I remember Lambert saying after the game, he went, the treatment you've had at this club is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
He says, you're a credit to yourself for dealing with it. He says, just keep doing what you're doing. And that gave us a lift.
Anyway, so we're at the Chris Brown show up, eh?
It's getting a bit emotional.
Did you get any, like, personal abuse, though? Like, you know, like, going in your car or anything like that?
There was one game, I think it was MK Dons, and I missed some gilt-edged chances.
Like, you knew? Bad.
I just wanted, you know, when, I don't know if you've ever been there, but you just want to walk off, you just want the ground to swallow you
up. I've probably been there more times than I've ever been.
Just, I thought, oh, I've had enough. And I'm walking out of my car, and there were only young'uns, to be honest. Just running the Brown, how did you miss them chances? Well, yeah. And there was like practice around my car. And we played on the Tuesday night, I think it was Middlesbrough. Next thing, the gaffer's had a Lambert's had a word with us. He says, that won't happen again. And there was security guards everywhere.
What, just rang you?
Come out like Kanye West. Right, boys. Two big guys
in the Joshua walking out.
The stewards were told, he said, you make sure you walk the players in. And I thought, and that was embarrassing for me then, because obviously everyone.
Did they have to do it for everybody, but
everybody,
it would just be you?
I don't need that. I'm 32 year old, I can take a bit of stick. And
bodyguard.
Lambert, he told us this after it happened. On that same night, he's walking to the car, and this big fan's come over. He's gone,
big fan is in. He's a really big fan of the football club.
No,
he
was a bigger gentleman.
And, fat bastard, I'm talking.
Yeah, get off my chest. He's gone, I can't believe. What are you playing Brown for? I can't believe you're playing Brown. He's hopeless. And Lambert's just gone, he'll be here in 2 minutes, mate. If you just stay here, you can tell that to him yourself.
Yeah.
Apparently, the bloke just shit his pants. Just walked off. But, yeah, look, that's when I started to think,
I'm just doing myself no favours. Mm. Not being fit, being a bag of shit.
The thing is, I did the radio for Radio Lancashire last week, and I've got it was like a co-commentary thing, and Preston missed some bad chances, and like I've got to then say, oh, he's got to do better there. And obviously I wasn't the most,
to be fair, I heard a report about that actually. I heard about Preston police.
What?
apparently there were more car crashes in Preston that afternoon. People were just falling asleep at the wheel. I don't know. The local police couldn't get their heads around why everyone just kept falling asleep at the wheel, but you were on commentary, weren't you? They must have all been listening to the game.
Going back to your original point. It was tough to then say, you know, I've got to be honest and say he's got to do better there. And some of the fans must be thinking, you were crap. How can you say, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all part of the job.
Did you have you seen this Twitter account? This B does nothing.
No.
Oh, it's a cracker. I'll give you the description. I'm Chris Brown, footballer for Blackburn Rovers, and I stand there looking like a lemon.
Don't talk to me about lemons. I'm in lemons.
Occasionally, a white ball comes towards me, but I move out the way. And they've also got a fake Tony Mowbray account here. I mean, obviously some Blackburn fan made it during your time. And he's like,
it must be Lambert. Must be Lambert who set this up.
You're fucking kidding me, Mowbray. Yeah, I've worked my ass off the last 20 games and you don't even put me on the bench. And then Mowbray replies with, you have worked really hard today, Brownie. 100%. Both mine and Shorty's car have never been cleaner.
There was another Twitter account.
Someone's actually got time out.
Yeah, to create two accounts.
There was another one called "Has Chris Brown scored?" Right? Question mark. And the only input to the Twitter account was after every game. No.
With 10,000 retweets.
42 games. Just no.
Did you not score one?
No. You knew that, didn't you?
No, I honestly didn't know that. I honestly didn't know. You didn't score once in 42 games.
I think it was 39 was sub. That wasn't. This Chris Brown show's taking the time.
Oh, away, yeah.
It's good crap, though. Yeah. You know, like, from somebody who it's not happening to, that's good crap, I like that. Minimal input as well, just no. No elaborate essays, just no.
No, full stop. Everyone with a full stop. It's lighting the mood, isn't it?
Oh god! I honestly didn't know that you'd not scored in 42.
It was an unacceptable amount of games. 42 just pulled off the top of my head, but I didn't score in the whole time I was there. Anything else, lads?
Well, did you score in training at any point?
Even then.
Don't tell me.
No, full stop. Were you glad to get away from Blackburn then, his first opportunity to come along?
I still enjoyed it. By the end I was just accepted that I was having a beast, but I still tried to have a smile on my face around training. And but I think it was more probably the staff, and that felt a bit, almost felt sorry for us in a way, because when I say it was bad, but they just, I mean, I think it started in my first home game. I came on as sub in the December, and there was, if I give the ball away or something.
After the first game?
Came on with half an hour to go, and I think I'd gone for a 1-2 and it was never on. And there was, oh fuck, you can just hear it. I thought, oh, here we go. And then by the end, I was just a laughing stock. And that's, I wasn't bothered by it. But
just pass us that tissue, will you?
I'm
feeling for you, well.
Have you had any barren spells back here? On the pitch?
No. Full stop. yeah, I've had a couple.
I was going to say, you didn't hit the ground running at Preston, did you?
I hit the ground quite a few times. Only with my frame. No. Preston, I think my first goal was middle of December.
Yeah, I remember it. I'm devastated.
It were, yeah.
I was sat on the bench, obviously, August.
You were
December.
Thinking you might get
I was riding the crowd. Get him off.
He was the Brownie.
Yeah, so I had not scored till December. And it were Doncaster at home, I think, a Tuesday night game. I tell you when it were.
Christmas do.
Christmas do. Christmas do day. So we played tea time. That's probably why I scored it, but Christmas do day. But we played tea time. But it were so I'd not scored at Preston till middle of December. It never really bothered me. If I play and play well by R5, I'm not asked. If I play shit by R5, I'm not asked. No point.
Not taking it home.
No, no point worrying about it. You can't know what about it.
You must, even if they're your teammates, if someone's having a shitter and, you know, competing for places, there's a little bit inside you going, I might give a chance.
That's when you're within your rights to go and knock on the manager's door.
Yeah, it's never personal. You know, you just got to say, am I within my rights to go in and say I should be playing?
Yeah.
You know, it was never personal with me and him. I would never say fucking shite or whatever. But if you think you should be playing, you've just got to go knock on the door.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I remember one game.
I can remember Mel's. I think Neil Mellor went to see Alan Irvine, and he knocked on his door, and he's come in, and he's opened it up, and Mel's not said a word. Alan Irvine said, "Neil, you've not scored for 8 games." Mel's shut the door, but he never went in. Mel's never went in.
Have you been knocking on door a few times?
I used to do more when I was younger.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Mick McCarthy nearly every week. Looking back, I'm thinking, how did I have the bollocks to do that? I was only 18. But I used to just go in there and say, I feel like I should be playing. And he'd be honest.
You only went in because he's got a bigger nose than you. Yeah, you're thinking,
it made us feel better.
You were thinking, look at the fucking size of that nose.
But he was always all right. Like, honest. He'd say, I'm going with experience, or I think that Mark Stewart's been doing better than you, and I'd walk out and be fine. But as I got older, there was a couple of times I went to see Lambert and Boyer, because I didn't want to get to the point where they weren't playing us because I was getting shit from the fans. If they said, because you're not good enough or whatever, then that's fair enough. But I just went in and said, it's not because I'm getting the bird, is it? And they were like, no, if I want to play you, I'll play you.
Yeah.
That's sound. So I'm on the bench then.
you're not made the 17 this week.
What do you like, McCarthy?
Brilliant. I think
he's from Barnsley, isn't he? Let's be right about it. You know what I mean? We're good.
He's the best I've ever played under. Old school. I think, I don't know what he's like now, obviously 10 years ago, but I remember, I think it was about this time, was Easter weekend, so we played Saturday, Monday. So we played 90 on the Saturday, then came in Sunday morning. He's like, right, lads, going down the seafront, getting on the beach, do a bit of a cool down. All the lads were thinking, oh, Jesus. I think we were like top of the league at this point as well. So we gets down there, do a bit of a jog on the beach. He says, right, ice baths, get in the sea. I think Tommy Meyer was there. A lot of the foreign lads were like, no, I'm not buying into this. But everyone did. 18 of them in the sea.
Straight in.
Julio Arta gets stung by a jellyfish.
What?
So he comes out shaking.
McCarthy got him, started pissing on him.
Gets back to the training ground and three of the lads are pissing on our best player. Seriously.
What's that for, the acid and the alkaline?
I don't know.
It diffuses the scene, doesn't it? Yeah.
We didn't see him all week. He declared himself fit.
Obviously didn't play on the Monday then?
No, he didn't play on the Monday. Declared himself fit on the Friday, but he had to come off at half time on the Saturday. He was just gone. Just like dehydrated. I remember walking into the showers and three of the lads are just there pissing on
you. Golden shower.
What?
Three of the lads stood around.
I've had some strange injuries over the years. Like, you know what players have missed games for? I mean, we've got Darren Bernard at Barnsley. He slipped on his slit his dog at a piss in the kitchen, and he must have had tile floors, and he slipped and done his ankle out for like a few months. Like from his shins,
don't get a dog.
Shins things.
Yeah. Oh, send Betsy back.
Betsy's gander's eggs. Gander's eggs is going on all right.
Is she shitting everywhere now?
So, to be fair, yeah, she shitting out. Two days ago, which is not great.
And that's why his knee's gone. It's all coming out now.
I'm going to be honest with you, right? There were two shits, and one of them were mine, and one of them were Betsy. But...
Is she on the juice as well?
Yeah, she's at the celery. That kale went straight through her.
Have you ever had any turn-ups, training ground battles?
When Keane came in at Sunderland, we played Ipswich away, and... You might agree with, you know, managers, I think some of them get bored. You know, if it's a crap game and there's nothing happening. So I don't know if you just wanted a bit of a response and get a bit of atmosphere, or if this particular right back was giving him verbals. But the ball had gone out of play, and he's, Brownie, come here. He says, the next time we get a goal kick, come and stand on this right back and leave one on him. I was like, right, sound.
No problem, Mark.
So a couple of minutes later, the ball goes out, and I've like give myself 6 or 7 yards like jumping distance. Mordy's put it right on this fullback's head, and I've just come over, and there was no elbows. I just kind of jumped on him and just took him out. It was like two wrestlers. I just laid him out, and we're both on the floor. There's a
one lightweight.
Yeah. There was pushing, shoving. Obviously I had people by the neck, just a bit of a response.
Right, so everybody's,
everyone get the game going. So I got a yellow card. It was first half as well, this. Game's going on, and I've just, Brownie! And he's like, winked. Just give us a little wink. I thought,
I'm going to get a
new contract or something. came the change rooms at half time. He gives us a hook. So down, took us off.
You're going to get your same sent off, so.
It's a good tactic, that, though, I suppose. If it's flat.
Paul Dickoff was exactly the same.
I bet he was stood there and keen. He was like, right, can we sacrifice him?
Yeah.
Who's the shittest there? Right.
It'd be worth to get something sent off. What would affect us the least? It'd be that fucking Brown. Let that Brownie get sent off. We're not missing next week.
I remember when Jufi was at Doncaster. We were 2-0 up. We're 15 minutes to go. Absolutely cruising. Their fans were on Leeds' back. Like, you know, getting beat. We were bottom of the league. Jufi's having a good game, to be honest. And then he starts acting the goat, like just goading the fans, you know, like going all up with his
cup
in his ears and pointing to his name on the back. So that kind of spurred the fans on. Ended up getting about a 2-2 last 10 minutes. And he'd been winding Darren O'Day up all game. So they're obviously pleased with the point, walking down the tunnel. And Jufi just runs past this O'Day and kind of like slaps him and carries on running. Right? So Jufi's in the changing room, and I think I was on the bench or I was in the stand. So me and Jufi in the thingy. Next thing, we just hear a commotion outside. I've looked outside and there's just a full brawl. So Andy Lonigan's got Chimbonda in a headlock. I seen Richard Naylor just... From a height, just pounding somebody. It was chaos. And Jufi sat there. Jufi caused it all, and he was just sat in the changing room. didn't get involved or out. I always remember, Lonnie's was smiling. He just looked at him and went, give him a Chinese burn.
He'd have played for both clubs as well, Jufi, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he did, I remember Preston Burnley. Remember when Unzi was, I don't know if he was in charge of this or first team coach. We were winning and the ball's kind of rolled out of play, and Unzi's, you know, one of them where he's just let it go through his legs. And Eagles has obviously tried to get the ball, and Unzi's let it, so he's kind of give him a bit of verbal. And Eagles has gone, I'll see you after. I mean, bearing in mind David Unsworth's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, big guy.
Big guy then.
Unbelievable.
Big guy now.
Big guy when
he played. So whistle's gone. Everyone's made their way back to the thingy, and Unzi was just stood.
Waiting for him. Like a bouncer.
Foaming at the mouth. And I thought, we need to get him away. Just heard the tunnel was gone, and I just heard, he was like a little baby. Get him off us! Fucking get him off us! And I just heard Unzi shouting at the top of his voice, "I'll fucking kill you." It's picked on the wrong fella there.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I bet, as soon as you said, "I'll see you," I bet we thought, "Oh, what have I just done?"
Yeah.
Because he'd gone.
So Eagles got shit his pants like a little baby. Then,
quite a smooth operator.
I almost felt sorry for him. But then at Donnie a couple of years later, Robbie Blake, because he was at Bolton with him. And obviously Chris Eagles is a right winger. In the whole, you know, if the manager doesn't name the team, he'll leave it and pull a few. He'll pull one or two where they're not playing or changing the team in the hotel or have a meeting before the game. And he's collared Chris Eagles in the corridor. He's gone, "Oh, Chris, I'm not going to play with wingers today." He's gone, "Right, so," he says, "you know when you do that with your fingers." He said, "What, am I playing number 10 behind the strikers?" He went, "No, you're on the bench, son."
So he would convince his players?
Yeah, some way he was playing. Number 10. Oh, I must be playing. Am I number 10, Gaffer? No, you're on the bench, son.
Head down.
I'll say that's some work. As bad as that, I mean, when I were at Barnsley, we were Eric Tinkler, they called. He was a South African international midfielder. And he's obviously, people get to the games at different times. You might be in for half one. The manager usually comes in half 20 to 2 and does his team, names his team, and if he's not already done it. Eric Tinkler's must have got in quite early, and he's got kitted off. So he's put his kit on, got ready, gone for a massage. So he's had a massage. So he's come back in with his kit on, half one, and the manager's come on. He's put his flip chart up with the team on. Eric's not on the team. Subs in the bottom corner. Eric's not even sub. He's sat in the corner in his gear. he said, "Look, this." And obviously, everyone's like sort of clocked it. And we're all trying not to piss us back. You can see his face is just raging.
It's a running joke every week. If someone comes in early, gets a massage, or it's like, "Are you playing? Are you?"
Yeah.
This time he obviously wasn't. Keane took us on a character building trip to Portugal.
Oh yes.
Didn't take old boots. Says you'll be do 2 or 3 sessions on the beach, and then that'll be used. You'll have a lot of free time.
We're basically a piss up.
Well, that's another story. We to be fair, he took us on the beach. It was probably the hardest hour and a half I've ever done.
Yeah.
Just you know, sometimes if it's wet sand, you're all right, but this was dry.
Sandcastles.
We did a 5-a-side on the beach, and how somebody didn't break the leg, I'll never know. It was just chaos. And he at the end, he stopped the session and he had a go at us for not putting it in. Even though we'd just done a circuit before it, running into the sea, flipping, doing all kinds of stupid things on the beach. Then on the last day, or the second off last day, he took us to a water park. grown men at a water park.
You're kicking kids out of the way. I'm going down first.
So you know, we had half an hour, then the novelty wears off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we just like sat off at the bottom on the lounges. We just see Keane fucking, you know, get in the bottom of these slides, running to the top again and going straight back. He was the biggest kid out of a lot of us. One of the most decorated Premier League players. And he's running around an Albufeira water park with a rubber ring. Honestly.
And it trunks.
Him and Tony Loughlin, who was his assistant, they just sprinted everywhere like kids. Oh, I don't know them fucking.
So basically, it took you a water park for him, Ben, didn't it?
It was. At the end, he's gone, "Right, lads, I want you to go and get thrown out. All of you get down that slide at the same time." And we were like, "Right, sound." So the whole
did everything he said. Basically.
Yes, boss.
Yes, boss.
So
wait a minute, he wants you to all get thrown out, evicted from the water park.
Yeah. He went, "I see if you can get thrown out." So every single one of you is down that slide there. I'm like, "Right, brilliant." So the whole squad have just launched themselves down this slide and he's at the bottom pissing his pants. About 7 lifeguards come with a whistle. Out, out. We're getting fucking led out of this water park.
He's in
stitches. But then,
did he just have one more gun before he got off?
Of course he did. Oh, I forgot my towel, lads. I'll be back in a minute. What, 3 more goals on Skull Island?
Obviously, everybody was on thin ice, you know, thinking, just behave yourself, don't upset him. But then the game. We came back, had a week's training, and then we played, I think it was Cardiff at home, and we got beat. I think we got 2-1. He's called a meeting Monday afternoon, everybody in it.
he started saying, there's no team spirit, you're all a bunch of fannies. I mean, if that was me, said, I'd have been out every night when we were in Portugal. I wanted you out. He said, I want.
Were you on curfews while you were there?
We had one night out. And obviously, if he said being 3 o'clock, the lads are on the bus at 1:30.
Yeah.
Right, lads. Just didn't want to upset him. And he's given it, you're all a bunch of fannies. He went, why was nobody arrested? I wanted people out every night. He said, that's team spirit. No wonder you're going to get turned over by Cardiff.
You'd be right for doing it wrong.
I know. But I think he just liked that. He used to love Ross Wallace because Ross played with him at Celtic. And he had a bit of a habit of taking his shirt off when he scored. And there's one, we played Hull away, and Ross has scored the winner in the last minute with his shirt off, second yellow. But we won the game.
Yeah.
So, but Roy Keane after the game was like, Ross, you're going to have to stop doing it. He went, you're costing the lads. And Ross had a bit of a mouth on him. He's like, fucking hell, you all want to talk, don't you? And Keane went, yeah, I know. He said, it happened once, got sent off, cost us $100,000, but it was worth every penny.
And about the Allen one?
The what? Okay. Nah, I don't know if it might have been Shearer or somebody. He got sent off and got fined a week's wages or whatever. Worth every penny.
So basically, he's hoping that you all fucking break the rules then, really.
I just think he likes a bit of, not a wronging, but he likes it. I'm sure he's got a few stories when he was a player going out and
like sort of about him.
Yeah, I think that's it.
A bit of an edge.
Yeah, but he just thought we're all too nice.
He might be like that though, because like you said, whatever he says, everybody's like, yes, boss, yes, boss. And he, you know, maybe because of his persona and reputation, you know, the if it's young lads, they might be like, and he might have been getting a bit like, fucking hell.
Have
a bit of.
I've something about you.
Yeah.
I've missed plenty of curfews. Many curfews.
Sneaking in or just rock it?
Bit of both. I mean, when I were at York the first time, we went to Durham, and I didn't even miss a curfew. We just weren't allowed at that. A few of us have obviously got
shimmying down drain pipe.
We've gone into Durham. Anyway, fucking crap. It was crap. But once you're out, you don't want to go home, do you? So it gets to about 1 o'clock, 1:30, and one of the lads has said, oh, the assistant manager's message saying, where the fuck are you, get back, we think he's pillicking, we think he's just joking. So we're like, alright, okay. So he got off anyway, so we stayed out another couple of hours. Gets in about 3 o'clock or whatever, and up training next day, and Terry Dolan just got us all in a line. We're like, firing squad, right, who was out last night, step forward. So we're all stood there like kids, thinking, shall I step forward?
looking down line.
Waiting for the first one.
Yeah. Does he know how we're out or not? Can I get away with it? Fuck it. Step forward.
So, just you?
No, there were four of us. So four of us step forward. Right? You fucking setter. Twats. Went ballistic at us. We'll deal with you when we get back. Went into work. We've got a meeting with the chairman. In the boardroom. So we're like, obviously we're chatting, like, fucking, we're all headed night out. So he went in, the chairman, he was quite new, him, bachelor, they called him, absolute ball bag. He says, I want to sack you. So I'm like, obviously his ears pricked up then. Yeah, it's disgraceful what you've done, I want to sack you. But apparently I'm not allowed to sack you. So you're all fine 2 weeks. So we're like, fucking really weren't worth that, like. Right, fair enough. And you've got to do community hours. You're all going to old people's homes.
I like this guy.
Right? You're all going to old people's homes, right?
What?
So, we said, right, okay. So it all comes out, what the fuck's happening here? So the week after, we all in an old people's home. We got to go on the Tuesday after training. So I went to my old people's home. I'm John Parkin from York. I'm reporting for
Dillis.
I'm reporting for duty. So I goes into this room. Obviously, it's an old people's home, and there's a deal. The stink of piss, don't they?
Even worse than that jellyfish.
Yeah, the stink. You can tell it's an old people's.
There's an aroma, isn't there?
Yeah, there's an odour.
So
it's either that or he's in there flogging aftershave.
So
I'm sat down in corner, like, just not really knowing what to do. So there's two old boys and a woman playing dominoes. So the woman will work this, says, have a game of dominoes with Reg and whatever. So alright, so we're playing dominoes, and this poor little old dear, she must have been 90, and you could tell that she weren't really with it. And when I said she were called, I don't know, Ethel. So this old boy, it's Ethel, it's your turn. So Ethel had just pushed any domino into the middle. So we're obviously like, I'm thinking, just let her off, we, you know what I mean? And he put his finger over the table, put it on her domino, Ethel, you know you can't make that move. And he moved it back. She's just sat there, not a fucking clue what she was on about. So I went, this whole people's on for like 4 hours.
Are you playing dominoes with
me? I'm playing dominoes, yeah.
He rinsed them all. Rinsed them in a pension.
I made 40 quid out of Ethel. So we're there for like 4 hours.
You remember your pension, Ethel, I'm that broke.
I'm there for 4 hours. So we got to, we're supposed to go six times. So we get into training the Thursday. So I'm like, what were you doing? Well, they got him cutting the lawn. He got a lawnmower around the old people. So they got him doing DIY and everything.
You're playing dominoes.
That's playing dominoes with Ethel and Reg. But like, after that, I thought, I'm like, fuck this, I'm not going again. So I never went again. No, but one of the lads that went, I ended up doing the whole six session. He rang in pictures on walls, cleaning up.
Did he know that you fucked it up?
I never really said. I just kept you quiet.
That story escalated, didn't it?
Mate, he's all from fucking shit night out in Durham. It cost us 2 weeks and all. But yeah, they got him fucking mowing the grounds.
Oh, for God bless her. I think that's us.
Yeah. That's gone quick, that.
It has.
Enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it without the guests and the pressure there of dissecting.
Pressure's for tyres and blow up dolls.
Yeah.
Or if you play
no
a black
pressure.
If you play a black man, you're not scoring.
That's proper
45 games. That's pressure.
You've never lived until you've been booed on the pitch.
By your own fans. I've been booed on the pitch by plenty of fans, but
by your own.
Well, that good. I think we've had quite a bit of correspondence asking us to go weekly, which we're certainly considering. It'd be interesting to read.
That'd be like my sex life.
Well, that's what I'm stick for now. Sorry. Security team.
That's going to get me in shit.
Let us know on Twitter and if you fancy us weekly. I think we probably will do. Yeah.
I think we should.
Being very blasé about this. Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'd like to talk about Blackburn most times.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I'll do it as long as there's no more Blackburn. Chat. Enough's enough, lads.
I never want to go to Blackburn again.
Thing is,
do you have nightmares about
I get cold sweats every time I drive past the old park. But there was a fan, I don't know if he tweeted me or if it was on one of the reviews. It was kind of.
He would rover.
No, it wasn't. It was another fella saying, great podcast, lads. It makes me feel pretty shite now about all the grief I gave Brownie when he was playing. So I'm building bridges.
There you go, yeah. You're changing people's perceptions.
Yeah, that's it. Perceptions.
Fuck off, John.
See, if they'd have known you were a nice lad, they might have given you. They might have left off.
It's that swagger, though, isn't it? You just automatically assume that.
Yeah,
it's the
air of arrogance that's around on a pitch,
yeah.
Or anywhere he actually is. He'd been battered.
Yeah.
It was a scathing attack at the start.
It's just gone downhill from then on.
Yeah.
Good though.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And warranted. After hearing that ratio. Totally warranted.
We'll get your reviews in as usual on the iTunes, and check out the YouTube channel as well, because we've got loads of clips and extra stuff on there, as well as the Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz.
Back off, Ken.
Back off, Ken.
We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.